Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. You're up front with Refilwe Muloto.
Time for the Binge Club. It's almost the weekend. We have Mike Wilter in studio with us, and I'm so excited to have him. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Refilwe. It's great to be here.
Thank you. So, public servant undeterred. Mike, as you know, if you're new to Upfront, basically on a Thursday, we acknowledging how important streaming is in our lives and how many TV shows we watched. We have, by the way, determinedly stayed away from speaking about Game of Thrones in this particular segment of the show. We'll get to that maybe another day, like at the end of the season. But what we like to do is unpack, say, three shows that are really garnering our attention, and we love to binge the TV shows that are watching, that we're watching, of course. And streaming allows us that amazing opportunity. Whether it's available on Netflix, whether it's available on Showmax, it could be what will be coming, Disney Plus, it could be Apple TV. There is a range of opportunity and access for us to actually get our favorite binging shows. And so we like to review them. We prefer to review the ones that you discuss and tell us to, but we'll also come up with some ideas ourselves and try to guide towards the brand new shows. And the three we're discussing today actually all launched in the past week.
Absolutely.
Right. So we're speaking about Black Summer. First and foremost, it's basically a zombie apocalypse drama series created by Carl Schaefer and John Hyams. The first season has about 8 episodes and was released last weekend. 6 weeks after the start of the zombie apocalypse, when a mother is separated from her daughter, she embarks on a harrowing journey, stopping at nothing to find her. Thrust alongside a small group of American refugees, she must brave a hostile new world and make brutal decisions during the most deadly summer of a zombie apocalypse. Take a listen to a clip.
They don't have a plan for us. Everything is falling apart.
As you heard, there's obviously a very scary environment, and at the name zombie apocalypse, I normally just my eyes glaze over.
Me
what
too.
Were your thoughts? Okay, great.
Me too. I am not an avid zombie show fan at all.
Okay.
It got a lot of buzz. It was trending.
Yes.
I thought, let me give it a try.
Okay.
My husband loves thrillers.
Mm-hmm.
I tend not to watch them for my own mental health,
yes,
if I can say. But I decided to give this one a chance. And yeah, I think it's gripping, as you can probably hear from the trailer. It pumps adrenaline. It's full of frantic camera movements. It follows characters fleeing their homes.
Right.
Most of the show really is just about watching a bunch of people get from point A to point B. I find the character development and the storyline very thin, but it grips you in trying to see whether the people that you're following actually survive by the end of it.
Right, so it's got a Game of Thrones-y vibe. I know everyone's going to say she throws it into everything, but,
no, but it's there.
It has a Game of Thrones-y vibe that there are no holy cows.
None.
And anyone could get taken out at any time. The one scene that reminds me, that I'm reminded of, it's the first couple minutes, I think. The disaster tears them apart. They realize after talking to the police that the wife, I think, has transcended completely. And so they need to try a different path. The child has transcended. And then all of a sudden, dad goes to the loo, and then he just gets munched.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't ready. I was never ready. And I mean, what I would say, I didn't realize that it's also going to be one of those, I haven't gotten through it all, of course, but where we're going to get tested on humans' ability to trust and support one another.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think what you see is at the beginning, you start seeing people fleeing their homes, still trusting the authorities to have had control over the situation.
Who allowed it to happen in the first place.
Absolutely. And then you see people relying on kind of their human qualities. Who can they trust? Initially,
right,
there's a little bit more trust, but as the show kind of proceeds, you start to see that trust breaking.
Yes.
And I think it kind of made me think, and I guess I needed to think about other things while I was watching this, because
just to stay sane,
just to stay alive. But I think what it made me think of is kind of how we as communities respond in extreme circumstances. And the day zero kind of came to mind, and I was thinking, would we just look after our own? Would we look after the person near us? In this particular situation, anything was game, quite frankly.
That's actually such an astute example. You're absolutely right. I hadn't even taken it as close to us as day zero. I was thinking more like apocalypse, obviously. So I was thinking the day after tomorrow, I think, or was it 2012 where it ends here in Cape Town. But your point about day zero is so important in that hours are very afraid when we were supposed to get to the collection points every day. I literally, in my mind, I saw Mad Max happening, which is what this movie is. Because it's one thing to not know whether or not I'm driving along with 2 million rand in my back seat and whether or not you can hijack me. But you can see my big 50-liter tanks. Yeah. So if you want water and you're a gang member, you can be like, you know what? Actually, we're going to just round up all the water in the city and you guys are going to pay like top dollar for it. That was my biggest fear.
Absolutely. And I think when resources and security are no longer a guarantee, particularly for the middle class, you just see things unravel very quickly and people start making very kind of critical decisions that we can judge.
That's so true. And money starts coming into it, as you know.
Yeah, and while we were watching the show, we kind of would ask each other, would you have stuck with me? Would you have just gone off on your own?
Oh,
and those are some of the kind of questions that you ask. But, I mean, when your spouse becomes a zombie, you kind of just need to
Because you
keep
can't
running.
Turn them back.
No,
so
you've just
like
got to keep running.
It was so nice. I love our marriage thus far, but you have become undead. I have to go now.
Yeah.
But surprising to find this, I have to say, considering how much we don't like zombie films, it was surprising to find this human aspect and the likelihood of saving. We have friends like Mbali, for example, who live for zombie films and zombie stories. She was on this Binge Club a couple of weeks ago. But for us, I mean, the bottom line is, what are your thoughts?
I think this could have been much shorter than 8 episodes. Right. I was pretty ready to kind of just, I don't know, unwind and relax after 2 episodes.
Right.
Essentially, it's about getting people from A to B and making sure that you're unscathed by the end of it. And I think that's the storyline from throughout 8 episodes. So for me, I think it's do you want a verdict from my side?
Binge or cringe, brother?
I think it's a binge while cringing kind of thing.
Right. You're right. It could have been a movie. We've seen the Purge movies. Okay. That's fantastic. Let us know what your thoughts are with respect to the TV show that we've just mentioned, Black Summer. Could it have been longer? Could it have been shorter? Is it that simple? I see there's on the subject of Netflix and Andrew, we will address this in a couple of weeks or maybe even next week. He says, hi, Refilo. Check out Love, Death and Robots on Netflix, standalone graphic novel type shows. 10-20 minutes, binge in one night. That's a great idea. Okay. Standalone, each episode, I get you. Love, Death and Robots on Netflix. We will check it out and we will review it here on The Binge Club. Do let us know, 072-567-1567, what you think of Black Summer, and we will shortly be speaking about the very, very special show, Special. The meat of it. All right, so we've gotten a suggestion from Andrew of Love, Death and Robots. The next show we want to chat about with Mike Wilter, I keep saying, it's actually attorney and published education specialist, and there are a lot of other things, but mostly a binge watcher.
Thanks for filming.
Welcome back. So Special is an American television comedy series that premiered on Netflix just last Friday, on April 12th. The series is based on the memoir I'm Special and Other Lies We Tell Ourselves, that was written in 2015 by Ryan O'Connell, who also stars, writes, and executive produces the series. The show is ultimately about a gay man, Ryan, with mild cerebral palsy, who decides to rewrite his identity and finally go after the life he wants. Take a listen to this clip.
I have cerebral palsy.
What's that?
It's a disability in the brain manifested through muscular incoordination.
Okay, now you're just being a drama queen.
I'm Ryan, the intern.
Listen, Cheyenne.
Ryan.
I need viral content now.
I don't know what I'd write about. Oh, I was hit by a car.
Everybody, come hug Ryan. He was hit by a car and now he's a weird, sad lip forever.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that's great. That's enough. Thank you.
If you could get rid of the thing you hate most about yourself, the thing no one else understands.
So that's the sort of short clip of what we're dealing with Special. Quite hilarious, irreverent, and I think just straight up, and definitely something for a woke audience, I suppose. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's quite a fresh show. It's gutsy, it's human, it's quirky, it's very easy to watch. It's 8 episodes. They're 15 minutes each.
So that's the other thing. 15 minute episodes. I'm down with that.
And you're done in like 2 hours. Right. So I found it really easy to watch, but it raises lots of issues that are not easy. And here we have a gay man with cerebral palsy who's only too thrilled to have his colleagues at his new internship think that he's been hit by a car and that's the cause of his disability.
Right.
And that for him kind of is a start of a new life, where he can explore his identity as a gay man, as a person who just wants to be relatable at the end of the day, and someone who just wants more freedom in his life.
Correct. And Special, even the title for me, I found quite interesting. The millennial Gen Z titling of being special insofar as you're a snowflake, but at the same time how we sometimes call differently abled people quote-unquote special. But I think it was interesting because I think he'd like to be anything but.
Yeah,
I don't want to actually stand out. I hate that my cerebral palsy makes me stand out. And he explores love, he explores friendship, and in a hilarious and irreverent way. There was a point where he says, "I have a thing. It's called cerebral palsy." And then a friend of hers says something to him, and he says, "It's hard out here for a gimp," which is obviously the play on hard out here for a pimp. It's difficult for me to. I feel like I want to cry and I want to laugh all the time, and then I feel bad for laughing, and then I like that he challenges me in that regard.
And I think that's what the show really does.
Right.
Is it on so many levels? I mean, for him, his struggle is his disability.
Mm.
There's not so much a focus on his sexual orientation, but
that's right.
Everyone's experience is different, and I think what I appreciated in this was his relationship with his co-colleague, who is just feisty. Yeah, her name's Kim, and she's a senior colleague of his, and she just kind of shows how much more freeing it is to accept, love, and own who you are rather than to kind of try fit in or kind of get people to be accepting you, making yourself more palatable.
Yeah. I agree. A couple of things that I also really like is the ownership. So when we have diverse subject matter or subject matter of diversity, so Kim, for example, is an Indian girl who, since Mindy Kaling, we haven't really seen an Indian girl in a lead, in the lead on a television show. We're discussing homosexuality through him. We're discussing different ableness. I love the fact that, you know, usually if it's black stories, gay stories, transgender stories, disabled stories, it's always written by somebody else, or poor stories. It's written by a rich person who's trying to give a perspective, or played by a person who has none of those differences.
Mm.
I love that it's from conception to writing to exec producing, he owns the entire thing.
He owns the whole thing.
And he is like one of Netflix's biggest stars at the moment.
And I think if there is a second season, it'll be interesting to see how much more depth he brings to his characters, because there's only so much depth you can bring to characters in 2 hours.
Correct. And that's the other thing, is that it's actually just the length of a movie. And I almost feel like I would like another season immediately.
Yeah.
I like how he's protective of his mom. I quite enjoyed that. And I love that he never wants to, I don't love it. Here are the things that make me aware. Part of the whole notion of I'd like to be anything but special is his absolute need to, or his seeming need to not inconvenience anyone else with his issues or with his pain, as much as he doesn't want to face it.
And I think it's quite, it's refreshing but also quite sad, watching the struggles that people go through, where they're just trying to find their own voice, their own place. And I think one of the messages that comes out of this for me is just how finding the strength and the depth to own what is yours.
Yes.
And going with that is refreshing. But I think the journey is what this show is really about.
It is.
And for that reason, I think it was totally worth a binge.
A binge, right? Same here. I have to say, on the one hand, I'm in love. And on the other, I feel awful, as I say, for laughing, which for me is awkward and human, which is that very journey.
And I think the show is human.
Correct. And so it takes me on my human journey. It confronts me with that humanity. So that there are complexities for which one needn't seek sympathy, pity. They just are what they are. And we carry on and we live and we find the best in absolutely everything. I love him for that. And yeah, I'm in love with him. Ryan, give us another season.
And I think it's so refreshing to see him initially go from wanting not to be pitied to just being that guy that got unlucky and got hit by a car.
That's it.
To then realizing just how trapping that is at the end of the day. And his journey is what I think makes the show fun but also thought provoking.
Yeah, perhaps and hopefully. Maybe they'll explore more about his sexuality in the next show. Perhaps this was the big thing to get past or through, because it's rare that we see a lead actor who's playing has cerebral palsy, as mild as it may be, without having sort of an I Am Sam, you know, trying to get a weepy moment out of people. All right, so binge or cringe?
Binge, I think it's
you
a binge.
Say. Okay, fantastic.
And I think it's binge because it's also just easy to watch and it's short.
Right.
Yeah. You can make time for it.
Exactly. So that's Mike Wilter, attorney at law, published education expert, superhero, most amazing friend. Mike Wilter has just joined us today for the Binge Club. As always, we like to come up with new shows that we can introduce for next week. Andrew, thank you so much for your suggestion. We spoke about Black Summer a little earlier. Julia in Durbanville says, hi, just started Black Summer with my teen boys, watched 3 episodes together, and then they continued to devour it. First TV series in a while that has actually engaged them. We'll be watching the rest very soon. Simple but gripping, as you want to find out if they survive or not.